have appreciated his power and his glory and his help toward his people. And looking forward to the rest of this meeting, that the Lord will just visit you and that you can go forth from this place saying that I have been with Jesus. Amen. It's good to have been with Brother Alvin and many of our friends that we don't get to see real regular have been able to spend time with Brother Savage and Sister Savage. And I told Sister Savage today, she's one of the greatest women in my book that I know. I know very few people that could have done what she did in the times of crisis that she was in. And if the Lord doesn't touch her, she needs God to help her. Amen. Amen. We need her. Brother Savage needs her. I want you to turn with me tonight to the book of Joshua for one verse of scripture, and then going to Isaiah chapter 58, verse number 12, for a verse of scripture. Joshua 5 and number 9, verse number 9. It's good to see Brother Mike and Sister Deb come in today. Looking forward to being with him tomorrow in the day service. And always, Brother Mike will have something that will stir your soul. Joshua, chapter number 5, and verse number 9. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And then in the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, very familiar scripture, verse number 12. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt rise up the foundations of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of paths to dwell in. The Lord will help me tonight. I want to preach to us on a church in reproach. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, again we're coming. I thank you for these services, these youth services, for the worship, for the altars, for what you have endeavored to do among your people. Now, Father, again here tonight, we find ourselves standing behind this sacred desk, reading from the divine library of heaven, and realizing the awesome responsibility. Father, I pray tonight that you would put a watchman on this tongue, that I'd not say one word that did not need to be said, but I'd not fail to say every word that would be said to the glory of God. I pray again tonight the canopy of your glory settle on this congregation. And I pray again at the conclusion of these remarks that you would meet us up on the altar and put your sign of approval up on this meeting. We'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory. Again, we ask it in the name of Jesus. The congregation said, amen. I have said this before. Sometime earlier this year, maybe in the early winter, I heard the language of a lady who said, I am leaving the church. Now, I'm not talking about the body, the home church. I'm talking about the body of Christ. I'm leaving the church, and I'm renouncing religion. And when they were asked why, this is what she said. She said, because the church has lost its historical authenticity. And really, the church has no modern relevance for today. That is a scathing indictment against us. And while it is not true of all of us, it is true of some of us. The church, the body, has lost too much credibility before a watching world in the last few years. We've had too much moral failure. We've had too much worldly compromise. We've had too much of a loss of simple integrity. Now, I don't know if you'll let me preach tonight, but it doesn't really matter. I prayed it through today. I told somewhere I found out a long time ago, a hot stove bakes bread in a cold room. And there's a burden on my heart. I know sometimes it sounds like that I'm against the church, but I'm not. I am set for the defense of the gospel, living and dying in this free wholeness way. It is the only hope of the world. There is nothing else. When the Methodist Church failed, the Holiness Church was birthed. But there's nothing to follow us. This is the end. Holiness is God's ultimate offer to the people. The fullness of the restoration power of Pentecost was and is the answer to the end. And there is nothing to follow us but judgment upon a world that has rejected the Word of God. If we are to survive, the essential element of survival and revival is that we must have a strong, pure, irreproachable leadership among us again. We must have somebody who is courageous enough to meet the challenge of this new and dangerous world that we're living in. We need somebody who is willing to be called a rebuilder of the old waste places. A restorer of the breach. A coming and claiming again the foundations of our fathers. But not just building upon those foundations, but pushing a future upon those foundations. Amen. God help us to realize there is nothing new. We're spending our time looking for something, buy a book that somebody ain't read, to preach something that somebody ain't heard. When what we desperately need, Brother Mike Roberts, is to go back to the old path. It worked in Grandpa's day, it'll work in our day again. Amen. It'll still work if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves. And yes, my friend, we are eat up with pride. We're more interested in nickels and noses than we are the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We are desperately. We are a church. Whether you like it or not, we are a church that, as far as the world is coming, has become not very relevant to what they're thinking. They're telling us they don't need us. They voted us out of the court. They voted us out of the school. They're voting us out of our churches. We are no longer respected. Amen. We need somebody who will care enough to inquire and to identify with and to get involved. The young man preached in youth service last night. I love listening to young men preach. I love the zeal and the recklessness. And they're not trying to impress anybody. And I love what he said about Nehemiah. I told him, I said, son, you gave me something to think about. Nehemiah cared enough about his brethren to get involved. Have you ever seen a generation of weak-kneed, rubber-backed preachers that are afraid to get involved on an issue? If you want to push it through, all you got to do is call it controversial. We don't
We fear controversy like it's some kind of plague of leprosy. And yet the church was born, and the doctrines that we are calling cardinal doctrines now were hammered out in courts of controversy. Amen. We came together and we said, this is the truth. Doctrines of heresy was tried and rejected. But in this hour of political correctness, we can't have a breakthrough in a camp meeting in the mountains of Virginia because we're looking across the aisle at each other. I preached you the burden of my heart last night. There are some of you needed to come to these altars last night and Manasseh some things. There are some things need to be buried here, never brought up again last night. Now, I'm not here from here. I don't know anything about you except what the Lord taught. But I knew I was right, Brother Mike, because I went home last night and I didn't sleep any hardly. I rolled the bed and prayed it over and looked at it again. We're not interested in anything. We have forgotten what it's all about. When we forget that we're here, our primary purpose is to reach into a lost, sin-soaked, devil-bound world and set the captive free. We're not a social club of the elite, and I don't belong to this church and you to that, where there is schisms and chism and all these separating things are killing us from the inside. I remember years ago somewhere I've got it. I clipped a cartoon out of a little Sunday paper, religious paper, and it was a stockade, and all the characters were animals that were with their long squirrel guns guarding it, and the little squirrel had come up to the leader. He was the scout, and he saluted and said, "Sir, the enemy has been spotted, and it's us. There is no power, birthed in hell or anywhere else, that can stop the church of the living God. Amen. There is no power of evil that can conquer us. Amen. We'll never fall from the outside. I don't care how many televisions they bring in, I'll preach the television out. I don't care how much of the internet they bring, I'll preach it out. It's not from the outside that's killing us. It's from the inside when we've lost our integrity. We don't feel like we got to answer to anybody for anything. Wanted men who will instill and restore integrity. The congregation, you just hang on, I'll get to you. But the problem's with us. This body of Christ will never be any stronger than we are in the ministry. You can have a problem in your church, and by the Bible, with a heart full of love, you can try to correct that problem to keep that soul from going to hell. But they'll pack up their bags, take their ties, and show up at the neighborhood church the next Sunday morning, and you'll never get a phone call. You'll never have a pastor say, "Hey, I need to see you. You got my tie. I've got your ties here. Your member paid them this morning." Now I'm going to tell you something. If I know you've been a member of somebody else's church, you show up on Sunday at my church, and Sunday school's over, I'm going to say, "What are you doing here? What are you doing here? Why are you here?" And let me tell you something. A long time ago, my daddy said, "If she'll leave him for you, she'll leave you for somebody else." And this kind of Christian, this kind of hopping around prostituting Christian will do the same kind of thing. Amen. We got folks today, you couldn't count on them. One fella called me and said, I said, "Wait, what am I going to do with them?" I said, "They're goats. Milk them while they're there. They won't be there long." It would be comical, except it's a truth. And there is so much mixed up stuff among us that the power of God can't move hardly. I have preached camp meetings where people have looked over at certain preachers to see if they're going to give them the nod or not. And if they didn't nod off, I don't care what you done, you could turn flip-flops down the aisle and nobody's going to say amen. I'm going to tell you something. Embrace truth wherever you find it. And if the anointing of the Holy Ghost, run with it. Amen. And as a brother said, while I go, when you come to the house of God, lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting and shout out anyway. Amen. Any leader knows that you must extend and strengthen the walls around your city to make it safe. For the enemy to come in among us, he's either got to breach the wall or somebody's got to open the gate. Spurgeon said, a church must be surrounded and preserved by a broad wall of nonconformity to the world. It must be separate from its customs and from its spirit. There are things going on. There are things happening. I can't give you chapter and verse and say that's sin. But there is a spirit behind it. And that spirit is sin. Amen. And any time, oh great God, stand by me. Any time a church tries to reach the world by becoming like the world, it loses its impact in the world. And therefore, her indictment of us was, you know, during the sin-sick, sex-soaked 60s, the college campuses across the country began to rebel. And they started the God is dead doctrine in the churches. And by and large, the churches they knew, it was true. Because they had not seen any healing, any deliverance, any anointing, any power in all their life. All they had seen, amen, was the sacraments of the external. And to them, God was dead. But there is a living, vibrant, Holy Ghost-filled church in this remnant in this last day whose God is calling again to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you unto myself. Amen. The gospel was never meant to be entertaining. It was meant to convict, and it still is. The danger of these unholy associations, these breaches in the wall, these destroying of the foundations, the danger in these associations is that, like Jehoshaphat, when he went down to the house of Ahab, now he said, Ahab said, we're brothers. Come on down here and let's have fellowship. And I love fellowship, but not at the sake of compromise. I've been invited several times to join the ministerial association in Jackson County. And when I spoke at the Freedom Rally in July of last year, over 1,500 people, all walks of life, said, amen. Again, they called. But I can't sit with my Baptist brother who teaches an unconditional, eternal security that was birthed in hell. Amen. It is a damnable heresy. You might not have, but I have seen too many of my people destroyed. You get that seed in there, you can't hardly get it out. And while they have perfected the doctrine, I said the other night, we are perfecting the practice. We got the idea we can sin any way we want to. Come back, run down to the altar, and 5 minutes we're back shouting again. Let us get back in the choir. Woo! I felt a cold breeze on that. Jehoshaphat was strong enough to handle it. Well, you're standing on the edge, you're going to jump, so I might as well just go ahead with it. you wouldn't give $25 to a mission work no way could be fixed. But you'll go to a quote-unquote gospel concert. Pay a ticket to get in there. I just felt something stand up in me. It better sit down in you. In this hour we're living in, the old pastor who's prayed and fasted and carried you, who was there when your children were born and buried your grandparents and could buy them, is barely scraping by, and you won't help him hardly at all. But you let somebody come into town that's been a dopehead. And I'm glad for the deliverance power of God. And somebody with an exciting story that can sing you a song, and you'll take after him like chickens after a June bug. Bible said, know them that labor among you. One preacher was telling my son, Brother Brent, said, he's saying, you know, man, we've been going to those gospel concerts and so was singing, and we've just been having a time. He's, let me tell you what's going to happen. He said, you know better. He said, you know they ain't nothing but entertainers. That's all they are. No, sir, they're not Holy Ghost filled. No woman that dabs up her ear bobs and paints up her head and cuts her hair, I don't care how good she can sing or what song she wrote, amen, she ain't got the Holy Ghost that I prayed through to when I came out of the bars. Amen. He said, you know better, but your children will sit there and they'll watch them jerk and do that around and they won't know the difference. And as providence would have it, this preacher's boy come walking in. Said, Brother Brent, we went and heard them the other night. And said, man, did they ever get anointed? Brent said, what I tell you? For you see, while Jehoshaphat and Ahab was eating, his son was making eyes. That's Jezebel's daughter. And while Jehoshaphat reclaimed himself, his boy never did. He never could forget what that Jezebel looked like. Like something bothered me real bad. We got some of the sweetest young girls in the Holiness Church that I've ever seen in my life right now. We got some of these young preachers that'll get up and hammer holiness to a fare you well. And then you go down to the fellowship hall. Instead of being sitting there with these good, sweet, wholesome, holy dressed young ladies, they have picked out the worst looking harlot, looking spirit there and sitting there talking to it. To me, that is a hypocrite spirit. You've not prayed through yet. And let me tell you something, son. If all you're looking at is that Coke bottle figure, I'm going to tell you something, there's a possibility he'll turn into a 2-liter one of these days. Amen. Did you know that right now the number one, the highest divorce rate in America is among 60 years old and up? Right now they passed everything else. They said 60 is the new 40. You know why? Because they have neglected to build a relationship. Amen. Ann Gabbard is not just, she is the best friend I've got. Amen. I like to hunt, I like to fish, but not as good as I like to go with Ann. I hate shopping, but I go shopping because I like to be with Ann. Amen. We're 60 years old now, we're friends. Amen. We're friends. But you see, this danger of this unholy alliance. Jacob has a religious experience. He wrestles with God until God says, I'm going to call your name, Israel. But as soon as he meets his brother and gets past the crisis, he lies to his brother. He says, you go on, I'll be behind you. I'm coming straight. As soon as his brother gets out of sight, he turns and goes directly the other way. And when he gets over to the country of Shechem, he stops there because there is grass for his cattle Could I tell you something? I'm going to anyway. Prosperity has killed us. I said to an old pastor, I said, Pastor, what? How did you preach against all this jewelry and this worldly look that's come among us? He said, my God, son, I never worry about preaching against you. He said, we probably couldn't get soup, beans, and cornbread, so we didn't worry about nothing else. He said, we didn't have to fly away to the lake every weekend. Oh, yeah, now listen. Jacob builds, the Bible said, Jacob builds an altar at Shechem. It's a good altar, but it's in the wrong place. Let me tell you something. I've had folks tell me, well, now we're going on vacation. We're going down to the lake. We won't be there Sunday. We're going to be at the lake. But, you know, I can worship God anywhere. No, you can't. I'm sorry to rock your boats. You can't. You can only worship God where God says worship Him. Where the Spirit of God's at. I love you. I'm trying to help you. You can build you an altar and justify it. And that's what we're trying to do now. We launch out and do our own thing. We do what we want to do. And then we want God to bless it. One fella came to me and he said, I want you to pray with me. He said, I know you're a praying man. He said, I want you to pray with me. He said, this farm's coming up for sale and I want to buy it. He said, I want you to pray that God will help me get it. I said, I ain't about to. He said, what? I said, the one you got now keeps you out of church half the time. I said, it can't be the will of God for you to have something that keeps you out of church every Sunday morning. I don't care how much money it's making or how many tithes you're paying. God don't need your tithes. You need to pay Him to keep God's blessing on you. He owns a cattle on a thousand hills. Let me tell you what God can do. They decided that they're going to starve this preacher out years ago. You can weigh me and tell me they didn't work. But when we split church over holiness 30 years ago, the deacon board decided they wouldn't put their tithing anymore Sunday night. That's when I got the offer. I got the offer on Sunday night. They keep all their money. About everybody else I had was 17, 18, 19, 20s, making minimum wage, getting by. Well, they kept their money out. And the offering didn't go down. And they kept their money out for 5 straight weeks. And the offering grew. And after it's over with, I went to different people and asked them, did you give? No, I never give a dime more. Well, what happened? God had an angel sitting there. Hey, if he can say, Peter, cast that in there, pull that fish up, get it out of his mouth. I believe you had an angel in the back seat throwing a $50 bill in and say, try to starve my man out if you can. Come on, church, get us up. Wanted men of integrity, men of principle, men of dare to be called a restorer of the breach. It's a hole, I'm going to plug it. He built his altar, but it was in the wrong place. That woman walked up, Brother Strickler, and fell over the coffin of her little grandson, a weeping and a crying, and there in the church, and said, oh, God, where was you at when my boy drowned in Sunday morning? And the pastor, as sweet as he could, said he was right where he was when his boy died. But then he said, but Grandma, if you'd have been in the house of God instead on the lake on Sunday morning, that boy might not have drowned it. Don't blame God because you're trying to try something else. Compromise the danger of an ungodly alliance. I had another family leave me the other day, Mike. I didn't know why. I raised them. Had them 15 years. Had her longer than that. Felt led to go somewhere else. Where are you going? I don't know. Just feel led to do something else. Well, I couldn't figure it out. But I said, well, you've been a good preacher. I hope God blesses you. But then, a few weeks later, I found out that they took their vacation the week after they left my church and went to Disney World. Now, somebody told me the other night that about all the holiness preachers were going to Dollywood. And I said, the holiness preachers ain't. Not one of them. I said something about Dixie Stampede, and somebody said, you ever been there? I said, no, sir. I live in 2 hours of Pigeon Forge. Used to go there pretty regular when I had time. I never had a problem with wanting to go to any of them places. And like to shop, I'd sit there and let her shop. If we got a chance, we'd go to Cade's Cove and trade off, and I'd hunt bears. Well, what do you think about it? I said, what I think about it. I ain't been to the county fair since I prayed through. Amen. If it was a sin for grandma, it's a sin for the grandbabies. And what I can't understand is what you would have whipped your children for, you're buying for your grandchildren. And you're wondering what's happening. I'm telling you something, there's a consequence to the ungodly alliances we make with this world. He never forgot her. And when he come king, he went down and got her. And it destroyed hundreds and thousands of Israel's because of one man's association. Jacob said, I'm making more money than I've made in my life. I can just see him. The boy said, you know, the old man slipped. He's mellowed out. And one day, his daughter said, I believe I'll go down and see how the girls at Shechem dress and act. Mama, would it be all right? I've been invited to a party. And so-and-so's letting their kids go. Well, what kind of party is it? You know, it amazes me. You won't have a television, but you'll send your children home with somebody that's got one. Turn them loose and never know what's going on. And so she went down among them and met that boy. And the tragedy fell. I sat across the table from a young man and a young lady. And they were crying. The Holy Ghost had revealed to me what they'd done. I had said, when you made that turn, my spirit went with you. The old mom and daddy, the girl's mom and daddy sitting here. And he said, we ought to take them out here and just wear them out. I said, no, sir. What we ought to do is take you out there and wear you out. I said, because when your pastor was preaching that it is wrong for these kids to get in a dark place and premarital kissing is wrong, you laughed. You said, what's the matter with him? Don't you remember when he was 16? Well, in case you figured it out, I come to preach to you tonight. And I baptize this in tears. And you may not live it, but you'll not go out of here and know what you can't. They've been preached against. There ain't no young man that can ever put your hand on a girl where it don't belong and turn away as sweet as you was before. What's wrong with this premarital kissing? A kiss is a prelude to what cannot lawfully be fulfilled without a marriage license. Boy, it's quiet and tight in Amosville tonight. I did get called to preach to a holiness church, didn't I? You know, I can remember when I preached this kind of message, and preachers and men would stand up all over the congregation and holler, amen. But now we're looking around to see how Susie's taking it. Lest pre-adventure, she decides she ain't going to come back tomorrow night. You see, the same things happened at your house that happened at Jacob's house. The sons got to ruin the home. They forgot who daddy was. Amen. A friend of mine come home. His boy was 18. Graduated from school. Got him a dozer job in the strip mines. His dad was a heavy equipment man. You know, he knew all about that stuff. And he's making big money. Don said, I come home. John said, I looked and said, I said, Donnie, you need to get your hair cut. Your hair has got long. And he said he went on and got left. And said, I come in that evening. And said, he come in. I said, Donnie, I thought I told you to get a haircut. And sitting there, he said, well, let me tell you something, Dad. He said, I'm 18. So I got my own job, my own money. So I think it's time I decided how I was going to dress. Don said, well, honey child, we come home tonight. You got your bag packed and your room's vacated. And only take what you bought with your money, honey child. Well, I bought and leave there. And so the other option you got is you whoop me and you can be the head of the house. He said, but when I come in this scene and you ain't got a haircut, he said, I'm going to lay my glasses, my coat, in the car. You know what? Donnie got a haircut. I don't understand you when you tell me she's 3 years old and I can't do a thing on earth with her. You take the right hand of fellowship, put it to the seat of learning, often enough, plain enough, and hard enough, and she'll learn real good. One little girl was throwing a kicking, screaming fit and going out after church. Her mama grabbed her up and said, here, Brother Gary, cast the devil out of her. I said, won't you beat the devil out of her? It works. But I'm telling you, see, Jacob compromised for a dollar. He got more interested in making money than he was being the head of his house. And we got men today, all you're interested in is bring the paycheck in, throw it to the wife, give me my spending money, and get on out of here. Let me have me a good time, and you pay the bills. You don't look at that little girl when she heads out of the house. You don't ask her where she's going. And you buy the gas and put it in the car for him to commit fornication. And come to church and wonder why you can't shout. Yeah. Tragedy always comes. It did to Jacob's house. Rape and murder and sin. Well, let's do for holiness preaching. Thank God. Thank God that the word of the Lord came to Jacob again. When Jacob came to himself and he said, we're going back to Bethel. And I want you to give me all this junk you've accumulated while you're here. Have you ever heard, where did all this stuff come from? He's got his own private room. Let me tell you something. Brent Gabbert locked the door in his room, I'd kick the hinges off of it. What you need to make them understand is if you're going to let them have a cell phone, then you don't erase one message till old dad reads it. And I can read it anytime I want to. Well, they need their own space. Space for what? Amen. Jacob said, we're going to go through here and all these CDs we've got up here of all this contemporary junk that you call Christian music is going in the garbage. You know, I like to stroked out the other night, Brother Matt. Somebody walked up to me in Bond Church and said, what do you think about these false hair pieces? I said, do which? You mean somebody that's had chemotherapy and lost their hair and they've got them a wig? No! They're getting these hair pieces and capping them in their hair for some ungodly reason. You know? So I got in my pulpit, as sweet as I always am, Brother Mike. I said, somebody asked me about these hair pieces, what I thought about them. I said, they are in the same class as false eyelashes, false fingernails, and pony toenails. Amen. And if you got it, get rid of it. Why do you want it? What's the point of it? Well, you don't have to comb your hair. You just get up and cap it on and away you go. You know, there's some things that ain't just sin, Mama. They're silly. They're ridiculous. I mean, it ain't just sin, it's ridiculous. But all these little things are sneaking in among us. Amen. I don't know what a Facebook or a Bobo or all that stuff is. I don't know what it is, but I know what I think about it. I'm against it. Somebody said the other day, Mike said, you know, they can get on there and say anything they want. I said, is that right? I said, yeah. I said, they got on there and said, Brother Gabbard, is it true that Reverend Gabbard gets the tithes at Bond Church? And I could answer that for him. Sure. Our people saved. But that one, they fired back and said, not only does he get the tithes, said he preaches out of a Drake Bible. I said, I didn't know there was such a thing. But you tell me, why in God's wide world do you want to get on there and put your picture on there to have a pervert in the country can look at it? Why you want to talk all, anybody can read on it. You say, but you don't understand. Facebook is among friends. Yeah, I ask about that. If I've got 100 friends and I'm your friend, my 100 friends can be your friend too. And we had a tragedy. We had a something that people put their opinion of all across the country. That happened in my church in our country not long ago because somebody was on Facebook. I know where I'm at. I understand we are in the information generation. I understand the computer. I understand the internet. But I'm going to tell you right now, when you make it for anything but business or learning or education, you're crossing the line. When you buy your little clips and put them in there, I don't care if it is hunting. One preacher told me, he said, well, I'll tell you what I've done. I said, I watched the Passion of Christ on him. I said, I read about it in the Bible. And ye shall dare to be called the repairer and the restorer and the rebuilder. And Jacob said, we're going back. We're going to have a house cleaning. And God said, your name is still Israel. You're going to bury them and leave them right here. And we're going to Bethel. The church, I believe that we're going to have revival. And there are going to be some people that are there, whether you are or not. But if there is one root of bitterness in your heart tonight, and the Lord comes back after his church, you ain't going. Hello? Amen. If you ain't got it settled, you ain't going. That's what I didn't say he did. He said, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. I don't know if you ain't never heard this or if you don't understand it, but we're going back to Bethel. We're going back to the early way. We're going back to the old path. We're going to stand there again. And you know what I'm finding out? I ain't having a bit of problem out of young people. When I said the old pastor's against it, every young person, but it's mom and daddy. They said, now listen, Gabbard's overboard on some of that stuff. But then when they call me at 2 o'clock in the morning, Johnny's just been picked up for smoking marijuana. Can you go with me? Yeah. You know, I can't talk to Johnny because you told Johnny that I was an old fogey. That my standard didn't apply in this day we're living in. You've destroyed any hope I have of reaching your children because of the way you've done. Amen. Let me tell you something. Our church split, family split. Whole families were divided over the issues of holiness. And Brent Gabbard did not know what went on until he was a teenager. We never discussed one thing in front of him. I never said one bad word about the folks that left in front of him. He went to school with their kids and played, and he never did know. But we've got kids that know every scandal that's going on among us, and it ain't no wonder that they won't come to an altar and pray through. It may sound like I'm picking on you, but I'm telling you what, my heart is heavy right now. A lot of what's going on ain't these young people's fault. They'll never be any more spiritual than you are. They'll never know how to shout unless they watch you. They see you worship. We got to lead them to worship. The rebuilder of the gates. We must do as Jacob did. Let's get away from all of this and let us build again the gates. Give us the repairer, the restorer. Give us the gates of authority. You know, it don't matter how strong the walls is. The gates open. You build the walls. But I'm the gate keeper. And you know, they don't care how tight I preach it until I start enforcing it. And then we have trouble. But I'm going to tell you something. Sin stops on this side of the altar. This is a holy place. If you're going to sing in the choir, you have to live up to the standards when there ain't nobody looking. Amen? Amen. Anybody's welcome to come to church, but sin stops here. My niece was married to one of the big promoters of gospel music in Nashville. Several groups were under contract with them. David would call me. He'd say, the McCameys are coming through your part of the country. Or some other groups coming, they're under contract to us. You know, we can get them by there at a discount. And finally I said, David, I don't want to hurt your feelings. I said, but they ain't allowed on my roster. I wouldn't let them get on my roster. Now, I'm back to this because you tightened up on me. A good coon dog will run every trail to the end and come back and get that layup. There is no way that you can justify spending God's money at a gospel concert. I don't care who you are. You can't do it. You can't do it. I had a brother hear an old gray-haired mama get up in a broken voice and say, "Where is my wandering boy tonight?" And the greatest one of them ever rolled off of the Nashville. Amen. That boy said to Brent, said, "They were so anointed." Brent said, "Come here, preacher." Said, "You hear what your boy said?" He said, "How are you going to explain that to him?" There she is painted up. There she is on television. There she is, and she's weeping and crying. Oh, yeah, I know what it costs. One of the greatest young men and his wife in the movement right now and out there. I love him. He loves me, but he can't preach. He can't sing for me. I knew him when he was a baby. Him and my boy played together. But Mike can't sing for me. Mike came to London a while back. Brother Mike, I didn't go hear him sing. And I love him. When I see him, when I meet him somewhere, he's up in this part of the country singing a while back. A preacher that knew me said was there. And he said, "I see you're from London, Kentucky." He said, "Yeah." He said, "I know some people down in Kentucky." He said, "Oh, you do? Where at?" He said, "Well, you probably wouldn't know them." He said, "They're a place called Bond." And he said, Mike looked at him and said, "I've known John Gabbard since I was a baby." But I preached to Mike when he was a baby. You can't take that talent and prostitute it and find the blessing of God on it after a while. Church, there comes a time when you draw a line.
It's a lonely time sometimes, son. I'm not saying it's going to be easy for you. I'm not going to say it's going to be easy for you, girl. But I'm going to tell you something. There's something about laying your head on your pillow at night and knowing your heart's pure before God. And know the blessing of the Lord is worth more than it all. You don't know what you're... Yeah, I do. Yeah. I woke that morning. I heard my daddy and my brothers and sisters talking downstairs. They said, Gabbard's lost... Brother Johnny said, Dad said, he's lost his mind. I said, all he does is... My dad said, I'm worried about him. Said, he'll get up and leave here sometimes and go out to the woods, to the old graveyard. And just said, he'll spend all night out there in the graveyard, laying on his face. Said, he's a praying. I listened to them talk about me. They wouldn't let their children around me before I got saved. And now they're talking about me. I slipped out the back door. I went out the ridge to the old pine thicket where I had discovered two trees had fell in a storm. And in the lock of those trees, I'd made me an altar. You might not believe it, but I was there. I got to weeping and to crying before the Lord. And I remembered, he said, my mom and my daddy put me down. The Lord will take me up. And I heard the wind getting those pine trees. And then it got down on the ground. And I could feel the vibration of pine needles around me as the love of God saturated my soul. And I said, God, that's all I want. When I leave here and get in the old car and hit that 10-hour back that way, if I can feel him get in the car with me and say, son, you've done what I told you to do. It don't matter. It don't matter. He said, let's have a new circumcision. For today I'm going to roll the reproach of the world away. Let's have a new dedication. Let's circumcise the foreskin of the heart, the flesh, and let God roll the reproach away until they'll say, the holy man of God passed by here today. Until they'll say of you, I ain't living like you're living, but I know you can get a prayer through. That old Jewish atheistic specialist, the wisest man they said in chemotherapy in the country, wicked, his last name's Moskal. When that little girl got so bad and there was nothing they could do, and Ann and I got in there, Mike, where she was at. I got down beside of her bed on one side and then got in the bed with her, and I got a little hand like that. And I bent over. And she quietened down. And I was trying to move. And them old hardened nurses and that doctor said, hey, don't you move. Don't you make a motion, preacher. Said, I don't know what's happening, but said, you stay where you are at. When that little girl died, that great big atheistic man came all the way to Jackson County to hear this little preacher preach. Talk about that funeral. And I seen tears in his eyes. We need to roll the reproach away. You hear me? We need to get rid of some of this stuff. Some of us need a garbage can full of junk to bury under a tree somewhere and say, I'm going back to the house of God. I'm going back to the power of God. I want that anointing. I want that move of the Spirit of God that washed over my soul when I was young. I want you to do it again, Lord. I want to know. You know, but we've got to have a revival just to have a survival. But I feel a vibration of something live way down deep. And I feel like that it's, young man, if you can scrape through the veneer and the facade all that's been passing out around you, you'll still find a living, vibrant faith that'll do it for you. What it did in those days gone by. God's still doing it. He's looking for somebody. I sought for a man among them who would make up the hedge and stand in the gap. He's looking for somebody who will stand in the breach and say, we ain't losing one more thing here. I ain't giving up one more thing. I ain't backing up on one more thing. We're going to stand right here. We're going to build the old foundations until God comes by and visits us again. Amen. Stand with me. Somebody come to the piano. I challenge you tonight. If I have said anything that offended you, good. I meant to. Because if you're guilty of it, you need to be offended. Because if you get offended enough, if you get mad enough, you might realize that you need to pray through. But I challenge you tonight to come to this altar and say, God, I want you to roll the reproach of Egypt off of my soul. I want you to roll the burdens of all that contamination away from me. I want to have power with God again. Would you do it? As they sing the song. Go ahead.
Come on. Come on. Come on. Well, let's have an altar work. Come on. Come on, y'all. Come on. Altar work's very important. Come on, young folks. The old ones want to sit back there. Y'all come on up here and pray. Come on. Come on up here and pray. Come on. We got plenty of time. Plenty of time. Come on up here and pray. Seek the face of God. He didn't preach nothing but truth to you. You know he preached truth. You know he did. You may walk out. You may well walk out, but you preached the truth. You know he did. Get as close as you want to the Lord. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on.